Good afternoon. You're listening to News Talk 94.1. I'm Tiffany Anton with the Biz Foundry, and today I have Kyle Peterson from Pets LLC in the studio. Hi, Kyle.
Hey, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. So you are definitely a big player in the business industry in this region, and yet people don't really know who you are or what you are because you're kind of all over the place. You have this company that's located here in Cookeville.
That's correct.
And but you work all over the country.
That's right. Most of our business is, the eastern part of the U.S.
We don't. So let's back it up. So Pets LLC, what is it and what do you guys do?
We are a animal transport company. We transport rescue dogs. These are dogs that have come from high-rate kill shelters and get adopted to new homes. And we transport them from the rescue group to their new home. And we cover everything from Texas to Maine, basically.
So crazy.
Yeah.
Who would think that this is a business?
This is true.
And and how long have you guys been here doing this?
We've been in business over 15 years. And we've been in Cookeville about 14 of those 15 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
And this is your full-time, this is your your living.
It's a full-time job. We have about 18 employees, and we run 3 trucks every week up and down the highways of the U.S. So we're basically a small trucking company for rescue dogs. That's all we transport.
So why have you, growing up, and your wife is a co-founder of this group who didn't want to come in today. But why, growing up, did you have this entrepreneurial spirit? What's your background?
No, my background is in sales, and that's where I got started in my working life. And I didn't even have pets growing up. My dad is allergic to everything. So when I met Pam, she had her own company at the time doing some computer work. And she used to travel all over the state of Tennessee and would find these dogs. And she got involved in chat groups early on the internet.
She's a dog whisperer, yes, if you will.
And so she got involved in these chat groups on the internet early on and would help these dogs locally around Tennessee just because she was driving from Memphis to Knoxville or wherever she was going. And it just from there started to grow. And we saw this little niche and acted on it.
And so what did it take for her to convince you, hey, quit your real job, your big boy job, and let's do this?
It started out with, we did, I'd say maybe 4 or 5 trips to the Northeast for a group when we both still had full-time jobs. And after we did the first trip, within a few weeks, they call back and say, hey, could you go again? And this was more her than me. I didn't make my first trip until about the 3rd or 4th one in.
And this was just like, I got nothing to do on a weekend.
Yeah. And before that, we did a lot of, just her and I would do a dog need to go to Atlanta or to Chicago or St. Louis or wherever. And we would just drive it as something to do as an unmarried couple for the weekend. It was something fun. We go to Atlanta, drop this dog off and do whatever we do or wherever we were going. Well, then, once the rescue groups realized that we could drive the dogs in one shot, pick them up and drop them off in New England without handing them off to 30 people, which is how it used to be done, the Underground Railroad type thing. Then it was on. So as soon as we went a couple times, then there was a demand for us. They would call back and say, can you go again?
How did you market yourself from, fairly rural Tennessee to how do people in Maine find you?
Well, it started out, we were, the quintessential right place at the right time. With the way the internet was expanding, there's a great website called there's some websites that place dogs, and I'm losing my train of thought there. But anyhow, so that's how the people find the dogs. They go on to adoptapet.com or pet, what's the big one I can't think of? Anyhow, so they go on and search. They want a black lab that's 6 months old, whatever, and then they can find it. And it may be in Arkansas. Yeah. Well, then that Arkansas person vets that person, makes sure they're going to be a good fit for the dog, and then they call us and we take them there. Well, in the early days, it was through chat rooms, like Yahoo chat rooms, and lots and lots of emails, and that's how it started. And we got in with one or two rescue groups that were really moving quite a few dogs at a time. And then once the route was there,
and this is not an illegal.
No,
it sounds such like a, you know, we're moving the dogs, we're picking them up. And this is not like.
No, this is. It started out. We've learned over the years. You know, there is a lot of regulation. But when we first started, like I called the USDA to get see if I need to be registered, and they're like, we don't think so. You know, they didn't know, you know, and now there's USDA registrations, and we're a registered trucking company, and we have to follow all the rules of
Department of Transit
or USDOT, mm-hmm. plus the USDA, and then every state has its own importation laws. So there's a lot that goes into it. But when we first started, a lot of people didn't know that, and it's kind of expanded as the rescue community has grown.
Do you find, sometimes I find that entrepreneurs have said they know they've made it when people start copying what they're doing. So have you found that there's other companies out there now that are trying to do what you're doing? And
yeah, there are quite a few. And it started out, we probably went 3 or 4 years without anybody copying
us. With any competition.
And then there's been several. And it, not to toot our own horn, but it's not easy. There's a lot of logistics involved. There's a lot of cost, maintenance, trucks, paying drivers. There's a lot of things involved that people don't realize. They think, oh, I just load these dogs in a van and drive them wherever. And to do it right, there's a lot involved. So we've seen dozens come and go. And there's right now there's one or two others that do what we do on a smaller but similar scale, not maybe half what we do, and do it right. And then, but yeah, we see a lot of competition come and go. But it's very difficult. It'd be like saying, oh, Southwest has a good thing going. I'm going to start an airline.
Yeah.
It's not quite that easy.
Yeah.
You know.
In case you're just joining us, we have Kyle Peterson with Pets LLC, and it's a rescue pet transportation service.
Yes.
Located here in the Upper Cumberland, and you have 18 employees that you know, in this company that probably a lot of people in the Upper Cumberland don't really know about.
Right.
So where, when you first started out, how did you get the knowledge that you needed to be entrepreneurs and to run your own business? Like you said, there's a lot more to it than just driving some
pets
around.
Right.
So
well,
where,
you know,
what resources did you use?
Part of it, or a lot of it, was learn as we go. Like I said earlier, my wife, Pam, she had owned her own business already. In the computer consulting, nothing to do with trucks or dogs. So we kind of based it a little bit on that. And then we just, you know, it started out with me and her, and we just grew organically and learned sometimes the hard way, but we learned as we went to get to the point. And we're still learning, you know, there's always something. But,
and the internet kind of helps you develop that stuff.
And it, you know, our business is very internet based. All the adoptions, reservations, all that stuff is, we wouldn't be able to do without the internet.
When you went to approach the USDA and they were like, well, we don't really think you need a permit. You know, we are not really sure. Were you part of some groundbreaking, you know, saying, hey, okay, let's figure this out. Have you been kind of worked through the government aspect of things?
I think, I don't know if groundbreaking, but we definitely set a new track for that. And when the first time we contacted the USDA, they really didn't know, and they lumped us in a different category. And now, since then, there's a transporter category. So they've changed how they do things. And then lots of the states that we transport dogs to, importation of animals is a concern. And they approach it from a disease standpoint. They don't want, say, rabies or something that's been eradicated from a certain area brought into the state. You know, heartworms is a big one. Most of the northern states don't see a lot of heartworms. Here in the Mississippi River Valley, obviously it's a huge, huge concern. So, you know, establishing.
So do you have to put the dogs through testing?
Oh, yeah. We have a whole list.
And that's your responsibility as a transport?
Well, no, we've passed that to the rescue group. Part of our requirements for the dog to travel with us, it has to meet a certain level of medical requirements.
Were there times in this journey that you thought, this is not going to work? This is, we might need to throw in the towel.
No, I've never said we shouldn't do this. There's been plenty of times I thought, why are we doing this? But I've never once thought we need to stop. You know, yeah. It's something that we're both passionate about, the animals, you know, lowering the pet population in the shelters is a big thing. Spay and neuter is a huge part of what we do. We don't transport anything that's not spayed or neutered.
That could be dangerous.
Yeah, that's how you get an overpopulation problem is dogs that aren't spayed or neutered.
Yeah.
And so that's our main goal, our number one goal. And really what we're doing is a very, very small Band-Aid on a huge problem. So the really only way to fix the overpopulation is through education and spay and neuter. But in the meantime, these dogs, instead of being euthanized, we get them to new homes.
So are you involved other than your business aspect? You clearly have a passion for animals and just getting them to good homes and that right. kind of stuff. Is there other stuff that you do locally that you're involved with that?
Yeah, well, from that end, I'm the president of the Humane Society Spay and Neuter Clinic. So I'm very involved with the spay and neuter locally and, preaching that and making sure animals are spayed and neutered. If there's anything, that will change what we're trying to help is spay and neuter. And that's one of the, probably, you know, our number one thing is we will not take an animal for any reason. It's not spayed or neutered. And I've had it out with many, many, many people who don't believe in that. And I said, well, then it's not going on my truck.
Yeah.
You know,
then they can find a different service. Yeah,
drive it up there yourself.
Yeah. In a second, we're going to talk more about the other entrepreneurial aspects that you've, started since then.
Sure.
So we'll be right back.
What's so important about shopping with locally owned businesses?
When you shop local, your hard-earned dollars stay here in the community, helping to benefit your friends and neighbors, local schools, roads, and all aspects of community life.
But what happens to my money if I spend it online or at a national chain store?
In most cases, the profits go far away, out of state, corporate headquarters, or even overseas.
It doesn't take any extra effort to shop local. Office Mart on South Jefferson and Cookeville is your locally owned office furniture and supply store. For over 35 years, they've been proud to serve businesses in the Upper Cumberland with quality and value. You get real customer service, too. And unlike shopping online, you can actually see and try out the large inventory of office furniture in their showroom. And when it's delivered, it's not a box on your step. They're glad to install and set up everything. Office Mart. There's no other locally owned office store in the region. South Jefferson Avenue across from Hardee's. Shop local at Office Mart.
Welcome back. You're listening to News Talk 94.1 Local Matters. I'm Tiffany Anton with the Biz Foundry, and I have Kyle Peterson, whose main business is Pets LLC, a pet transportation service. But did you just get the bug that you wanted to start something else? Or
yeah, I didn't have enough to do already.
Right. So you decided to open a game processing business in Whitleyville.
Yeah, I am an avid outdoorsman. I love to hunt and fish. And my brother and I own a farm in Whitleyville that we use for recreational purposes for hunting and camping and hiking and such. And over the years, we developed, I love to deer hunt. I love to cook. I love the process of gathering my own food. And there wasn't a deer processor in the area that was providing what the area needed. So I decided I can do that. And started another business.
Do you find once you started your first business that I could do this again?
Yeah, there's a few hurdles that probably run with any business. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a certain level of risk and maybe even just confidence in knowing, well, I've done this with one business. I can probably do it with another one.
And did you think Pam brought that confidence into Pets LLC?
I think so. When we started, yeah.
She had a computer business before that.
Yeah, probably a little bit.
She brought that confidence of like, yeah, we can do this. Yeah. We can figure it out. And so.
Yeah. And she's a more of a serial entrepreneur than I have. She started a lot of things.
Yeah. Well, and you were, you know, kind of that business has been around for 15 years and you've kind of gotten that. So you saw a need again, and this is how everybody starts their business. You saw a need for game processing and you said, let me start Whitleyville Station.
That's right.
So the bigger thing with that is that this is a brick and mortar that you're having. You had to find a building, you had to find a space. So how did that compare to kind of the trucking aspect of things?
Well, that was, a little different. We knew the area we wanted to be in. And so we had two options, was to find a building that would work for us or to build one. And building one obviously has its own set of hurdles. So we found a building that we liked and we tracked down who owned it. And it was an abandoned, actually we wanted to be in the old Whitleyville Bank building, if you're familiar with Whitleyville. And it's a beautiful building built in the 20s. And we found who owned it, called them, told them what we want to do, set up a plan and sat down with them. And they said, maybe not so much in that building, but we have this other building right next door that was an old garage. It was basically just a square building that was empty. There was nothing in it other than a walk-in cooler, which is a little fortuitous. And they said, you can put it in there. Gave us a great deal.
I'm guessing a bank building is pretty, and I envision brick and stuff. Right. And I'm guessing game processing is not pretty.
Right. Well, it's a little messy sometimes. Yeah. And it's so their big thing is they didn't want to renovate the whole bank to meet essentially a butcher shop. Mm-hmm. And where there was this blank building next door that was empty and it had a walk-in cooler already in it. So we worked out a deal and I renovated that building last year and we were open for business last year for the deer season. We opened late, but we had a great season and a great first year. And we're,
how did you get the word out? Are you in a location where people can just drive by and see you, or how do you get the word out that
That was part of our choice is we're right on Highway 56, which is a major thoroughfare through there. And that part of Jackson County is mostly rural, and there's a lot of hunters, lots and lots of leased properties and lots of hunters. So it's very well traveled. And other than newspaper advertising, local, you know, online advertising, things like that, that's all we did, and word of mouth.
That is the unique thing to this area, that this area is small enough that word of mouth is very important.
Oh, yeah.
And it'll take you pretty far here.
Yeah.
Especially in Jackson County. And so the way that I was connected with you and your wife is that your wife, she has a hobby of buying businesses.
That's right.
And so she's trying to work with a local coffee shop in Gainesboro.
Right.
You guys live here in Cookeville, but you see the investment in the more rural areas.
Yeah, we both, part of it is our personal use. I mean, we have a farm in Jackson County and spend a lot of time there, and it's just such a beautiful area. And it unfortunately has fallen, I hate to say on bad times, but it could be some rebuilding needs to be done. And there's great potential there, and the people there are great, and it's so beautiful, and it's so close to Cookeville, to Nashville. It's, you know, it's a great location. So we just really like that area.
Yeah. In case you're just joining, we have Kyle Peterson with Pets LLC, a transportation service for rescue animals. So what else do you involve yourselves with? You know, you really feel passionate about spay and neuter clinics. You feel passionate about revitalizing Jackson County. It seems like you guys have a lot on your plates and but you really care about this area. Where did you grow up?
I grew up kind of all over, mostly in Ohio, but my dad was with Sears and Roebuck for years and we moved throughout the Midwest. And Pam is Nashville, grew up in Nashville essentially. So I moved here in 99 and I really love Middle Tennessee.
About it that just kind of gets into you?
It's so beautiful. The people are fantastic. You know, like I said, I'm an outdoorsman. There's so much beautiful land, lakes, all within, you know, within an hour of where we're at right now. You're at some of the best bass fishing in the world, some of the greatest hunting in the Southeast. So it's just it's a beautiful area that I really enjoy, you know. And
well, and for what your business is too, it's a pretty good location because you're right on I-40. Have some major north-south highways not that far from us.
And part of when we moved here with the pets business was we were living in south of Nashville in Columbia, and we looked at Interstate 40, basically everything from, say, west of Nashville, Dixon, all the way to Knoxville, and tried to find somewhere along 40 because that's where our business was based. And we luckily found Cookeville, and we love it here.
Yeah, and it's a decent, you know, hub.
It is.
So, but then you're 30 minutes away, and you can be kind of in the middle of nowhere in Jackson County.
Right,
and
right.
So you're able to kind of be in nature, and so it's a really neat area.
Yeah, there was a thing years ago I read that this area, Nashville and Middle Tennessee, is something like 500 miles from 80% of the U.S. population. So it's very centrally located. And for what we do with the pet transport business, that's great.
Yeah, that's. I think sometimes people think that the rural areas limit their business, but in your case, it really helps your business to be right here and in such a good location.
Yeah, it's centrally located for the pet business, and then with Whitleyville Station, it's you know, we're right in the middle of some of the best hunting in Tennessee, so it's great for that.
What can you tell listeners who want to you know, just have a heart to get involved in this community and see it be better? What can you tell listeners out there?
I just get out there and do something. If there's something you're passionate about or you want to be involved in, if it's, you know, dogs and cats, go help out at the shelter. If you like to run, help out with a race or something, you know, start promoting a race. If you like to hunt, get out and teach somebody else how to hunt. You know, there's a lot of things you can do just to help the community, and it's just a matter of doing it. And if you're passionate about it, it'll roll into, you know, it'll take you where you want to go. That's kind of the way we've approached things.
Well, and I really like the fact that so many people kind of get almost stuck in Cookeville. There's a lot of stuff to get involved in and here. But like I said, I really appreciate Pam's passion for Jackson County and saying, hey, I have this building. I want to get a leg up in this other area, and taking those efforts and passion outside of Cookeville that has a lot. I mean, there's a lot of people here who are doing a lot of things. But realizing that passion can maybe even take her further in the outskirt areas.
Yeah. And there are a lot of areas in Middle Tennessee, a lot of these small towns. Cookeville's thriving. Obviously it's a great community. If you go to Gainesboro or Livingston or Smithville or any little bit smaller towns, they have beautiful old squares, and there's a great chance to revitalize a lot of those buildings and bring in. It's a great place for small business. You know, with the internet, you can run a small business anywhere, providing what you're doing.
Or a co-working space like the Biz Foundry.
That's right, the Biz Foundry. And so if you find a great building that you want to, you know, you can put a business in there and run a worldwide business from Jackson County.
Yeah. Well, and that's, we're expanding out into Sparta and McMinnville, and I'm so excited to see the things that are happening in those areas. McMinnville, I think their downtown's beautiful, and I just can see in the next 5 years them being, you know, kind of the next runner-up for Cookeville. I just see so much passion in these other places, and I think it's nice to know, I mean, these are our neighbors, and you got if you want to see Cookeville rise the right way, we got to expand out and look in these other places as well. You know, we can't have Cookeville put these other places out of business. Essentially,
Cookeville is a great resource. There, you know, obviously with Tennessee Tech here, there's a great resource for both employees and research if you need it done, or you know. Anything like that. And you can, you know, and then if you go just outside, there's really great investment, opportunities, because you can buy or rent a small building for a lot less than you would in a bigger city.
Well, and like you said, you could, if you have a passion of having a farm, you can have your own farm and have your city living house, and you can, you know, kind of have the best of both worlds, and they're 30 minutes apart.
And the thing is, like with Whitleyville Station, this was not a building with a for rent sign on it. It hadn't been used in years. We just saw the building, thought that would be great, found out who owned it, and called them and had a business plan. This is what we want to do. We have no experience in this, but, you know, our personal experience, but, you know, this, we think it'll work, and they were open to it. Yeah. So there's lots of people that would love to see their hometown
be put on the map.
Put on the map or bring some business to it or whatever it may be.
Yeah.
And that's where it starts. It doesn't, you know, you don't need a billion-dollar company to come in and you know, take over a town. It's just a few small people to get the thing going, and it'll, you know, the old, if you build it, they will come type of mentality.
Yeah. Thanks for joining us today, Kyle. How can people connect with you if they're looking to find out more about your business?
You can find us online, petsllc.net.
Okay.
Or come to Whitleyville and visit us at Whitleyville Station.
On Highway 56?
Highway 56, right in Whitleyville.
Thank you so much for joining me today.